Welcome to this week's reading of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American Sunday Business and Oil Sections, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
This is Julie, reading from the Odessa American on Sunday, September 11th. Murie, District Community Must Curb Violence. Staff Writer. Across the state and nation, Ector County ISD Superintendent Scott Murie said there have been incidents of violence in schools and the violence has to be stopped. Recently, ECISD has had a separate altercations ranging from an arrest of an eighth grader at Bowie Middle School for attacking his teacher to a student bringing a gun to Permian High School to the stabbing of a student at Odessa High School. There also have been separate altercations at two fast food restaurants, Burger King and Taco Villa. Murie said the violence nationwide has been going on for the past several years, and there has been an escalation of it among teenagers. Some people point the finger at the pandemic, and certainly the isolation that was a part of the pandemic for our teenagers was difficult for them. And many kids were traumatized by that, Murie said in an interview Friday. We're seeing some of those behaviors manifest themselves at school, in communities, and things like that. I think the proliferation of social media, and certainly during the pandemic that is on the rise, just things that kids see. There are bad adult behaviors, and sometimes we can be very poor role models for our kids. Let's watch some of the poor behavior adults, and they emulate those behaviors as children, he said. Murie said he doesn't know if there is one root cause. I think there are many, he said. Our kids are a reflection of our society, and our society is ailing right now. We see our kids suffering along with our society. We have a lot of work to do with our adolescents today. As a school system and society, Murie said, we have to get our hands around this and help our kids. Their behavior is screaming at us for help. Kids just don't behave badly for no reason at all. There's a reason, and many times it's our children begging for help, begging for support. They need people to love them. They need people to hold them accountable. They need people to care about them. They need people to certainly be their parents, to guide them through life and to help them through difficult decisions. They need people to cheer them on and celebrate them. Our kids need a variety of things, Murie said. Most children are fortunate because they have healthy adults in their lives, good parents, family members, and friends that support them, he said. We have with some kids in our community, as well as communities across the country, that simply don't have positive adult role models in their lives and that make a difference. Kids desperately need that, Murie said. I think that as a community, we owe it to our children to make sure that every child that lives in Ector County has a healthy role model, mentor, parent in their presence to help them, lead them, to guide them through life. Murie observed that it is tough being a teenager today. Our kids, again, their behaviors are telling us that they need help. We owe it to them to give them assistance, he said. We said children learn behaviors. I think that's where accountability comes in. Again, sometimes poor behavior is a child asking for accountability, for guidance, for rules, for structure, if you will. Adults provide that. In a healthy home environment, there are rules and structure, and there's bedtime, there's a curfew, there are norms. In a healthy classroom, the teacher provides clear rules, guidance, and expectations, and students must abide by those. And when they don't, there are consequences in place, Murie said. He added that human beings need those things as well. The district emphasizes citizenship into its curriculum. From a big picture perspective, it is how to behave in society. Good citizenship includes behaviors, how we treat other people. It also is about self-respect, how you should treat yourself, how to have conversations with others, with adults, really the rules of society, the norms and expectations that we have as a society that's a part of citizenship. We certainly teach that, and we've taught that for many years in school, Murie said. The faith community clubs, organization, coaches, and groups like the Boys and Girl Scouts do that. Murie said those organizations help youngsters learn how to behave in society and be a good citizen. That's one of the reasons we encourage extracurricular activities, because while we teach that in school, it's also a part of their organizations, whether school-related or community-related. Many clubs and teams, and whatever is athletics or academic organizations, art organizations, church, youth organization, all of these groups that are positive help our kids know that understand how to cope and be successful in society. When kids are involved in these groups, again, positive groups, healthy groups, good things happen, Mary said. We also have unhealthy groups. There are gangs in our society. Those are very unhealthy for kids. They teach them negative behaviors, inappropriate ways of behaving. So we need to make sure that our kids are not a part of those groups because they inform the way our kids behave as well. Our kids need to be involved in positive organizational groups, clubs, and schools. It's certainly a piece of that, Mary added. The pandemic is one of the root causes of what's going on with the children. It also impacts our adults, but Mary said it did the most damage to children. We see it academically, and we certainly see it socially. The pandemic is not the only root cause of this. There are other causes involved, but certainly contributes, Mary said. There were rumors that the teacher attack at Bowie was in critical condition, but Mary said Friday the teacher was fine, but it was a traumatic experience. The argument was over a cell phone, according to a video of the incident. Mary said adult came to the scene to help the teacher. The student was charged with aggravated assault of a public servant, a first-degree felony. Chief Communications Officer Mike Adkins said in a text message. On Wednesday, video of the eighth grader went viral. Those who saw the video on Facebook were appalled by the boy's actions, and many questioned why no other students came to the teacher's aid. As we talk about mental health trauma, we'll certainly support the teacher in her recovery as she overcomes it. You have physical injuries, and then you have mental stress. That's when somebody's attacks. It certainly creates a traumatic experience. So we'll continue to support her, he said. Asked why other students didn't intervene, Mary said he couldn't explain it. We would not encourage students to become involved in a violent situation. The reaction of a student would be to seek help. When you see something on your campus, whether it's a violent action or something wrong, you want to get the help of an adult. The expectations of a children would be to get help. We don't want them to intervene in a situation like that. It's a dangerous situation, Mary said. He added that children have to be taught how to behave in situations like that when at Bowie. When we see something, our responsibility to the individual is to get help. When we're driving down the road is to see something happen on the side of the road and somebody is suffering, we need to call for help or stop and help. Our kids need to learn those behaviors as well. When you see another human being that is struggling or dealing with a difficult situation, our responsibility as a human is to help them in some way. But that's not necessarily a natural behavior on the part of some kids. We have to teach our kids how to do that, Mary said. He added that he thinks everybody should be concerned as adults living in this community that children are misbehaving because everyone lives here. This is our community. We want to make sure that our children know and are able to act appropriately in situations, so we should all be concerned. Absolutely, Mary said. He added that the situation is bigger than just ECISD. A school system and our children are a reflection of our community. And if we're seeing violence in school, there's violence in our homes and in our community. We all have to understand the role that we play as individuals and collective, but the school system will certainly be a part of that solution. In fact, we're making some phone calls today. We want to be very thoughtful in how we do this, but absolutely we have to address this just as we have to address it as a state and a nation. We're seeing too much of this in our society today, and it has to end, Mary said. ExxonMobil, upping basins production. Company's foreign operations also boosted by Bob Campbell. Having weathered the pandemic's demand slump, ExxonMobil is increasing oil production in the Permian Basin and expanding operations in Guyana, Mozambique, China, Australia, the Netherlands, Indonesia. That's according to Chairman CEO Darren Woods of Irving, who said in the company's second quarter call report that the basin remains a big part of the company's plan. We continue to invest in our portfolio and grew our year-to-date production in the Permian Basin about 130,000 oil equivalent barrels per day versus the first half of 2021, Woods said. For the full year in the Permian, we expect to achieve 25% production growth for the second consecutive year. As demand has continued to recover, so has production from our industry-leading refining circuit. We increased throughput by 180,000 barrels per day in the first half of 2022 versus the first half of 2021. Woods said ExxonMobil Offshore Liza Phase 1 and 2 projects at Guyana are pumping 340,000 barrels per day, while it has been awarded an interest in expanding of Qatar North Field East, further leveraging our experience as a global leader in liquefied natural gas and giving us the opportunity to help grow Qatar's LNG capacity by 30 million, tops per annum by 2026. Partnerships such as these are important because of unlocking future opportunities in our new business like carbon capture and storage, Wood said. We recently signed multiple memoranda of understanding exploration and the development of large-scale carbon capture and storage projects in China, Australia, the Netherlands, and Indonesia. We further strengthened our portfolio by advancing a significant refining capacity expansion on the U.S. Gulf Coast, discovering new resources in Guyana, progressing LNG production in Mozambique, and addressing non-core assets with announced divestments totaling more than $3 billion. Wood said the sales include XTO Energy Canada, the company's Romanian upstream affiliate, and its Barrett Shale gas assets. We continue to invest through the pandemic with the understanding that demand would recover, he said. With our Beaumont refinery expansion, we're on pace to increase our refining capacity on the U.S. Gulf Coast by more than 17%, 250,000 barrels per day in the first quarter of 2023. Wood said two discoveries were made in Guyana, where the estimated recoverable resource base is about 11 billion barrels and natural gas flowed in the Coral LNG project offshore at Mozambique with the first cargo to be shipped there this year. Overall, it was a very strong quarter in both the financial results and its progressing our strategic priorities, he said. Executive Vice President, Chief Financial Officer, Kathy McKells, reported that upstream earnings were up $3.3 billion to $11.1 billion. Crude oil realization improved by 15% and natural gas realization by 23%, driven by tight supply, McHale said. We produced higher volumes from our advantaged assets in Guyana and the Permian Basin and recovered from tough first quarter weather conditions in Canada. Death notices. Odessa. Donald Lloyd Sonny Clark, 93, of Odessa, died Friday, September 9th, in Odessa. Graveside services is scheduled for 2 p.m. September 12th at Sunset Memorial Gardens. Jody Casper is officiating. Arrangements by Sunset Memorial Gardens and Funeral Home of Odessa. Odessa. Jake Cantrell Collins, Jr., 91, of Odessa, died Wednesday, September 7th, in Odessa. Memorial service is scheduled for 10 a.m. September 24th at Sunset Memorial Funeral Home. Pastor Glenn Anderson is officiating. Arrangements are by Sunset Memorial Gardens and Funeral Home of Odessa. Denison. Olympia Ibera Lujan, 77, of Odessa, died Sunday, September 7th in Denison, Texas. Mass will be celebrated at 1 p.m. Monday, September 12th at St. Joseph's Catholic Church in Odessa. Burial followed at Rose Hill Gardens section of Ector County Cemetery. Father Frank Chavez is officiating. Arrangements are by Acres West Funeral Chapel of Odessa.
Hello, I'm Jesse. I'm reading from the Odessa American for Monday, September 12th. Institutional effectiveness strives to keep OC on the cutting edge. From daily enrollment reports to student focus groups, the Institutional Effectiveness Department at Odessa College works on moving the college forward. Vice President for Institutional Effectiveness, Janice Hicks, said first they make sure the college is in compliance with the Southern Association of Colleges and Schools Commission on Schools and ensures that OC is innovative and using data such as labor market information. They also use lagging indicators such as graduation rates, persistence, and transfer rates. Quote, OC President Dr. Gregory Williams is very intentional about how he utilizes institutional effectiveness. Another area we collect data on is student data. We do student focus groups to learn about their OC experience. And if anyone wants to do research at our institution, it comes through our office. We also do all the reporting to the state into IPEDs, which is for Title IV funding at the federal level. End quote. IPEDs stands for Integrated Post-Secondary Education Data System. Quote, we get financial aid funding through Title IV, and as a result, we have to report our data to Title IV. It's a fun job. We get to make sure we're moving forward and we're continuing to be innovative and relevant and meeting the needs of our students, Hicks said. OC had enrollment increases during COVID, bucking the trend for other community colleges nationwide. Quote, at that time, when we were one of less than five institutions across the country who had enrollment increases, then we broke 7,000 students, and then fall of 2021, we were able to have increased enrollment to where, again, other institutions weren't. The report I did at the last board meeting was about our spring outcomes. We've been up in our spring outcomes and our fall, too, 8 years in a row, Hicks said. She added that 60% of all degrees and all occupations require at least a certificate. As she said at an OC Board of Trustees meeting, the success doesn't just happen. Quote, we have a whole team that just focuses on it. Every morning we look at the enrollment numbers. Even before I got to work this morning, I was messaging with one of my team members about the enrollment and where we are. We are up for the fall again, Hicks said. OC doesn't do its final enrollment until October because they are still recruiting students. Based on its 8-week class schedules, students have a chance to sign up in August or October in the fall. Quote, and so for those students, maybe high school graduates or even community members who are questioning and they didn't make their enrollment deadline for this week, they have another opportunity here. So we do see quite a few students who start with this in the second 8 weeks, Hicks said. Looking at the national research, Hicks said finances are the top barrier to enrollment at a community college or university. Quote, Odessa College is no different. Students do have financial barriers, especially in our market. We're an oil and gas country, which has its benefits, but it also brings a high cost of living. One thing that we do is we promise students that college can be free. Any student can get their first class free. We also do an excellent job in our financial aid office to see if folks qualify for Pell Grants. Then we do a wonderful job in our scholarship office and with our endowed scholarships, Hicks said. The Odessa College Promise Program will benefit students in the class of 2024. Quote, any student in the class of 2024 within our entire service area will have the opportunity to have a full ride for 2 years, as long as they are enrolled as a full-time student. That also includes students that get their GEDs, Hicks said. The Promise Program is an enrollment tool, but, quote, it's really a completion tool. It's viewed as an enrollment tool because it gives them the scholarship to get started, but we want them to be enrolled full-time so they can complete and transfer or get into the workforce, Hicks said. Part of the promise is to encourage students to be full-time and complete within 2 or 3 years. Hicks added that the 8-week classes minimize the opportunity cost. Quote, if I'm a single mother and I want to go back to school, I can give up 8 weeks. I can do 8 weeks at a time. 16 weeks, the opportunity cost is a little bit higher. And so, from an economist's perspective, the 8-week model allows students to be able to make those decisions and give up whatever that opportunity cost at that time. So they can decide, I can do these 8 weeks, and then after they do that 8 weeks, many of them decide, Oh, I can do it another 8 weeks, Hake said. Or if something happens, you can take 8 weeks on and 8 weeks off, for example, she said. Quote, so I think it's better for the students that we serve because we don't serve traditional students that are here on campus and only focused on going to college. We serve students who are living life and life is unpredictable. And it happens to all of us, and so we want to be as flexible as we can, Hicks said. Here are some Odessa American quick hits. Fall sweep community-wide cleanup. Keep Odessa Beautiful is calling out for all Adopt-a-Spot businesses, schools, clubs, organizations, families, and individuals for the annual Fall Sweep Community-Wide Cleanup Initiative today through November 19th. Prizes will be awarded in the following categories: collect the most bags of litter, cleaned the most locations in Odessa, and the Adopt-a-Spot raffle. To register or for more information, visit tinyurl.com/3meaub8w. Monkeypox Vaccine Clinic. Pride Center West Texas, 700 North Grant Avenue, has scheduled a monkeypox vaccine clinic from 3 p.m. to 7 p.m. today. Local health authorities will also be on hand to answer questions. Visit tinyurl.com/2p8wxz4v. Protect your pet. The Ector County Library, 321 West 5th Street, has scheduled Protect Your Pet workshop from 5 p.m. to 6:30 p.m. today. Learn to build a shelter for your pet. To learn more, call Angela Kowale at 432-332-0633, extension 2126. Email agaule at ector.lib.tx.us or visit ector.lib.tx.us. Tesla Concert. Wagner Noel Performing Arts Center, 1310 North FM 1788 in Midland, will present Tesla at 8 p.m. today. Doors open at 7 p.m. Visit wagnernoel.com. Literary Deathmatch. The Odessa Arts presents Literary Deathmatch at 7 p.m. today at the Odessa Marriott Hotel and Conference Center, Devonian Room, 305 East 5th Street. Literary Deathmatch marries the literary and performative aspects of Death Poetry Jam, American Idol, and Double Dare. Each episode of this competitive, humor-centric reading series features a thrilling mix of four famous and emerging authors, all representing a literary publication, press, or concern, online, in print, or live, who perform their most electric writing in 7 minutes or less before a lively audience and a panel of three all-star judges. After each pair of readings, the judges, focused on literary merit, performance, and intangibles, take turns spouting hilarious off-the-wall commentary about each story, then select their favorite to advance to the finals. The two finalists then compete in the Literary Deathmatch finale, which trades in the show's literary sensibility for an absurd and comical climax to determine who takes home the Literary Deathmatch crown. Tickets include appetizers. Cash bar will be available. Ector County Library will be on hand to sign up patrons for library cards. Visit tinyurl.com/EFCB5X5R. Men's Bible Study. St. Elizabeth Ann Seton Catholic Church, 7601 North Grandview Avenue, has scheduled Men's Bible Study by Bishop Robert Barron from 7:15 p.m. to 8:45 p.m. today through October 17th and the church parlor. Sign-up sheets are located in the narthex. Visit SeatonParishOdessa.org. Sand Volleyball League. The City of Odessa Parks and Recreation Department will present a Sand Volleyball League from 6:30 p.m. to 11:45 p.m. beginning Wednesday at Sherwood Park, 1201 East 49th Street. Registration deadline is today. Admission is $150 for a team of eight. Teams will participate in a series of eight games and end with a double elimination tournament. Each team must have at least three men and three women over the age of 18. First place received gift cards and T-shirts. For more information or to register, contact Edward Moreno at emoreno@odessa-tx.gov or visit tinyurl.com/YCKV2ZR6.
This is Jane reading for the OA for Saturday, September 10th. To your good health. Doctor revokes driver's license without an explanation. Dear Dr. Roach, my wife's handicap parking placard has expired, and she asked her primary care physician to fill out a renewal application. The new placard was received, followed by a letter from the DMV instructing my wife to return her license within 10 days because a medical professional had deemed it unsafe for her to drive. There was no discussion with my wife about driving. My wife had a stroke about 2 years ago, but there are no obvious signs that she shouldn't be driving outside of that. She recently had a Watchman device placed, but no one ever said she shouldn't drive. My wife has had no symptoms since the surgery. She saw the cardiologist who performed the Watchman surgery, and he said she is doing well. She also saw her regular cardiologist, and he said she is doing well. She saw both of these physicians after she saw the physician who notified the DMV that she should not drive. Was it unethical to not discuss revoking my wife's license with her before doing it? Answer. The Watchman device is placed to reduce the risk of stroke in people with atrial fibrillation, a rhythm disturbance of the heart. Its placement has no bearing on her driving, but the atrial fibrillation potentially does. Atrial fibrillation does predispose people to strokes and occasionally to a heart rate so fast that people can't think properly. Conceivably, a person could have a stroke or a very fast heart rate while driving, but this is a rare cause of motor vehicle accidents. The most common medical cause for impairment while driving is epilepsy, which is a whole separate discussion. There are international guidelines to help clinicians decide whether a person with a history of arrhythmia is safe to drive. In the case of atrial fibrillation, the guidelines are consistent that only if a person is having symptoms or is incapacitated should they stop driving, and they may resume once the symptoms or incapacity is better. From what you tell me, she had no reason for her driving to be restricted. Unless her primary care physician knows something that you haven't told me, this decision was not supported by consensus guidelines.
Dear Abby, husband isn't shy about critiquing wife's flaws. Dear Abby, my husband often points out my flaws and shortcomings. For 20 years now, while I try to make changes, I find myself in the same place on most issues. He's increasingly impatient with me, and I get a daily rundown of what I should or could have done better. I don't want to lose our marriage. He thinks of himself as a coach. As he sees it, some of my most annoying habits are tied to my now-deceased parents who were displaced persons with no education during the Second World War. I understand his frustrations. I agree with him and want to be the best person I can, but I'm often mired in sentiment for my parents and act and do as they might have. I talk with a therapist, which sometimes helps, but I still feel tied to their old ways and can't seem to stand on my own feet as my own person. I'm at a loss about what to do. Thank you for any direction you can offer. Still Lost in Connecticut. Dear Still Lost, start discussing generational trauma with your therapist. The psychological and physiological effects of trauma experienced by people, example refugees from World War II and other conflicts and genocides, often impact subsequent generations in that group. When a couple marry, they are supposed to accept each other for the way they are. Over the last two decades, your husband hasn't done that. He may mean well by his coaching, but from where I sit, it appears more like a never-ending stream of criticism. Rather than so readily blame yourself, please discuss this too with your therapist. Dear Abby, I am a middle-aged man. My girlfriend of 9 months is the same age. I have been pretty careful in guarding against COVID over the last 2 years. Abby, my girlfriend showed up yesterday obviously sick. The first words out of her mouth were, "I didn't tell you because I know you would have canceled the date." She told me she had tested herself for COVID and it was negative, and she just had allergies. As the day progressed, her congestion, sickness, grew worse. When I discussed this with my adult children, who live at home, they were furious. We were supposed to celebrate Labor Day with a gathering at her place. I canceled it, telling her she has to be 100%. Should I have waited longer to start dating? Careful in California. Dear Careful, a less self-centered person than your girlfriend would have informed you that she wasn't feeling well and offered to reschedule your date, or left the decision up to you. She would not have shown up and risked exposing you and your family members to COVID. I am not advising that you should have waited longer to start dating. Instead, you should have chosen whom you dated more carefully, because this woman is dangerously selfish and inconsiderate.
Thank you for joining us for this week's readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American Sunday Business and Oil sections. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.